This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off a select mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout. Slack is a messaging app which brings together all your team's communication into one place, making work simpler and more productive. Go to slack.com to learn more. Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by... Actually, Paul's not here again. He's been a bad boy. He's been slacking recently. Actually, he was in Europe, and we couldn't put the show together on Thursday because of my own issues. And once again, we're joined by Mr. John Bubb. How you doing, John?
Listen, it's always your issues. It's always my issues. We know you have issues. We know you have a lot of issues. You need to bring back that dish, that little... dish that you have, your special dish.
My special dish needs to come back because it levels everybody out here at the GFK Network. John is here with us. We're going to do a quick show. We're recording on a Saturday today. We're going to do a quick show because guess what?
Yeah, come on, Andrew. Time is money.
I know. Time is money. John, actually, you know, last time we did the show, I got a lot of praise over it and people really enjoyed our picks. I got a lot of comments about the Elgato and your pick, and ever since talking about your YouTube pick, that's all I see on my YouTube now.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
but
all
it's
I
content.
See. It's great content. Great content. John, where can people find you?
You can find me here on the GFQ Network and occasionally over at the Gunna Geek Network when I guest host on their show called GunnaGeek.com Show.
That was called stalling, so I could adjust my camera while you were doing it. Still a pro at this, guys. We do have a lot to talk about. Obviously, Google had some big announcements. And I don't know, what did you see from the overall, and we're going to break down what these announcements were, but what did you see from the overall reaction to some of these things, John? Was it, I mean, I looked at it, and there was nothing that stood out as a negative in any way. When I looked at, you know, all the products that they announced and the features that they were talking about, but there was still a lot of criticism over the Pixel 3 having the notch and the laptop, the Slate that they announced.
Mm-hmm.
When you were monitoring this, your opinion, not your opinion yet, because I want to go down the news, but overall, what was the overall reaction?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much in the same mindset as you are in terms of this event. It's interesting because obviously the big thing is the notch. We were wondering whether or not Google was trying to pull a fast one on us and actually say, "Oh, we're gonna have the notch. We're not gonna have the notch and all this stuff." And then, yeah, of course, because it's one of the most leaked devices in history on the internet, the Pixel 3. Yeah. So there was no surprises there. Overall, you know what? Here's my thing is I think we are well past the time where we need to have these type of events where it's these big shindigs that Apple and Google and Samsung has. We don't need to do those anymore. We don't stop.
Yeah, because
doing
everything
them.
Because they're, everything
they're
is done prior.
Now.
Yeah,
yes. It's everything's like, leaked out.
Yeah, you know what it comes down to. I feel like they all since Apple had great success, you know, over the last couple of years with these events. And they had a formula that worked. You know, they spoke about this, they spoke about that. It was like 2 hours long and they were done. Now everybody feels that they need to stretch out the hour and a half, 2 hour announcement. And you have these weird filler spots that nobody watching says, you know what, that's really entertaining. I feel like it's a lot of filler. It's a lot of internal praise at how we're doing so good for society. We're doing so good for everybody. And then here's the product. But there were some pretty.
I really wish they would just. All right. Just do a press release announcing the device, all the information, and then hold a demo for the media. That's all they need to do.
It was 75 minutes, by the way.
Live streamed events.
Yeah, it was 75 minutes. And you know where this started? The Apple event was really sought after, and people were very interested in it when, do you remember how exclusive it was to only Apple users and only you could watch it on Safari and that was it. And people would restream it and have the hundreds of thousands of views restreaming this thing on their own channel. That's, it was a lot of buzz because of that. But now it's gone away. And I think we'll criticize that a little bit more. I do want to talk about the announcements themselves and then talk about, you know, the core of this and then go into what we think. I actually, before we go on, I do want to say I'm looking to get rid of my Samsung and get the Pixel 3 XL because the camera on this thing is, remarkable when you look at the shots. So, and I do anticipate it to be better than the new iPhone camera. So before we go on and all that, I do want to take a moment and talk about our great sponsor, and that's Slack. I've been discussing Slack for a while. I use it at work almost every single day, except for today. Obviously, I'm not working, but it's an amazing productivity tool that lets you and your group and your departments all come into one and have great discussions and without, you know, going crazy. Email's great, but sometimes it gets convoluted and so many people get tagged on things and it becomes pretty complicated when you have a thread of 15 people on an email chain and things get missed. What it does, it connects the tools and services you need in one place. Slack allows you to organize your team with real-time messaging, video, and voice calling as well. This is actually great. You can drag and drop your files. You can share your files, all that. And it supports over 1,000 applications. So you could use Zendesk, Salesforce, Google Drive, and a whole lot more. To find out more, go to slack.com. That's slack.com, where work happens. I want to thank Slack for supporting the show. So, John, where do you want to begin with this? With this beautiful announcement that we had.
You want to talk about the Pixel 3?
Yeah, let's start out with the Pixel 3.
And everything that we already knew.
Everything that we already knew.
Literally everything. Yeah. This is just the thing. It's like, okay, we already know everything. Why do an event? It's just waste of money.
Because it's for the media. Time. It's for the media. It's for the, you know, the picking up.
Just do the demo stuff.
So I'm trying to find, I closed the page with all the specs here, John. Like a dummy. So do you have I am a dummy. Do you have all the specs on this thing? Here we go. Here we go. Sorry.
Google up, but.
I found it. Okay, so it's the Google Pixel 3 XL. 6.3-inch OLED display. It's actually a very good-looking phone, and this is great considering the criticism Google got for their Pixel 2, where people said it looked cheap, it didn't feel right. I know that I has had one. I know that Paul had one, and there was a lot of criticism overall with the design of the phone. But this is actually a very good-looking phone. You can notice that there's a chin bezel, and the notch is pretty deep on this thing. So it's a much bigger notch than a lot of people wanted. The AI camera features all make it easier to get the best photos with less fuss, including Top Shot, Super Res Zoom, and Night Sight. The Night Sight was awesome. Did you see that demo of that?
No.
So it's able to kind of adjust for the night. And it's able to focus in on the proper lighting to let in. Dual front cameras, wide-angle lens, so you can fit more in the screen. The Google Pixel is smart enough to screen your calls for you, which is great. Fingerprint sense. You don't get facial recognition in or an in-screen fingerprint sensor, which is interesting. So why put the notch in? John, why put the notch in?
Because Apple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
It's a beautiful phone. It's a beautiful phone. Both the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 3 XL sport the Snapdragon 845 processor. One's a 5.5-inch screen. One's a 6.3, like I said. They both have a rear 12.2-megapixel camera. And the front camera is the same as well. The battery, however, you got a 3430 milliamp battery with 18 watt fast charging on the XL and a 2915. So it is a bigger battery, and that's good. Same amount of RAM, same amount of storage available on both. It is essentially the same phone, just one's a little bigger, which I kind of like that. They didn't make it, they didn't punish you for going with a smaller phone.
Yeah, and the smaller phone does not have the notch.
and the smaller phone does not have the notch.
Then the notch is only on the XL, which I find very interesting.
Yeah.
But sadly, I think it's a very, very good-looking device. Unfortunately, that notch on the XL really does ruin it for me. I mean, I get that I'm going to have to accept the fact that the iPhone has a notch. That's just the way it is. I'm hoping perhaps next year they find a way to not do the notch or whatnot. But just this notch visually just ruins the look for me. And especially when you're looking at a video or something like that, when you're looking at videos on your phone, that notch just really does get in the way.
So this is the interesting thing. The way that the camera works, by the way, there's only one camera on this phone, on the rear camera, on the rear side of the phone. You don't have, like, Samsung is doing four cameras now. They're doing three cameras. Apple does two. So you have to look at this. Go ahead.
A lot of what Google does now is not necessarily hardware, but software. They rely very heavily on their software.
Yeah, they do. And it just shows you how much they could do with the software. So they're doing something with AI. And the way that they do this, I was asked this over the week on, you know, what does this mean that it's doing AI? So what it does, let's say you take the camera and you point it out, right? Internally, it snaps multiple shots. It takes a bunch of pictures in succession, and it attempts to choose the right one for you. And apparently, it does a very good job at this. It does a phenomenal job at this. And you could see that this is nothing new, but there is major improvement with this.
Yeah, sure. Everybody has upped their AI game.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of these photos. Like, one was taken at 6 p.m. in Herald Square, and I walk by that every single day almost. And by looking at this photo, what it's doing is it's figuring out what the best exposure is and the aperture is, and it snaps it and it bumps up the HDR. And that kind of, you know, there's an HDR craze, and I get HDR and I understand why some people love it, but it's almost like filling in the colors, you know? It's not a true, like, some of these photos I'm looking at, it looks a little cartoonish. And these are actual photos that are taken with the Pixel 3 XL. Do you know what I mean by that? And people get very upset when I say that. When too much HDR is used, it doesn't look real at all.
Sure.
And it's just, I feel like it's become a trend in photography, especially when you're trying to, you know, make it look as crisp with the color. You kind of bump up the HDR a little bit too much. Even the photo, you remember that shot that they did during the announcement where it was an iPhone XS and it was the Pixel 3, and it was like three friends sitting in a park on a rock, and the Pixel was so much brighter, and the iPhone was way darker.
I feel like there's a way you can adjust that.
I'm sure that there is with the HDR. You could turn it on or off, but I don't know if that's a critical part in its ability to kind of put this photo together. Because I'm looking at this, and I'm zooming in to look at it, you know, but it kind of looks a little unnatural. Even though it looks great, there's some, it's turned up a little bit too much. Obviously, the iPhone one, when you see that shot, looks absolutely terrible, and I'm sure that it's the worst shot that they were, and in the slew of shots that they took with this iPhone, they selected the worst possible one. You know, it's obviously marketing, but I do find it amazing that Google's able to do a lot and even bet more than what Apple's able to do with one camera in the back.
Like I said, it's everybody is upping their AI game, and we know that from Apple's announcement. We know that from Google's announcement, and the fact that they both mention AI specifically. So it's just a matter of everybody upping their game. And in fact, the matter is that even the Pixel 3 is just yet another improvement over the previous generation. And that's really what the cycle is these days. It's just one improvement over another. It's not these huge leaps and bounds that we saw early on with smartphones.
But with that said, I mean,
generational improvements now.
I think it's because, and I talk about this with Paul all the time, you know, we got so much innovation in a very short period of time, right? We got the iPhone that came about, and we got the iPad and everything else, all these tablets and the ultrabook craze. We had so much innovation in like a 5-year block, where now we are in a maturity phase. And when I say that, I don't mean it as a negative. I think that we have come so far with the technology that we're using, but then now we're in maintenance mode, where we're just adding on top and we're fixing these problems and we're making it more convenient for us. You know, look at Samsung. Sure. You know, you look at Samsung, look at what every manufacturer is doing. I feel like the last time that we as consumers looked at a product and expected this phenomenal thing, right? This, you know, the iPad came out of nowhere. I think it was very the craze behind the iPad and the success of the iPad. I don't think a lot of people saw that happening. I don't think people realized the ability of this device at the time, and it really had to do with two features: one, an unbelievable ecosystem for apps, and two, phenomenal battery life. You know, the iPad. Nobody talks about the iPad anymore, but it was the iPad 2 that changed everything. That really set the precedence to, okay, this is what a tablet is. This is what it should be. And even to this day, we're quite a few years, quite a few generations past that point. Nobody really is able to keep up and compete with them on that level. So I think that's the fascinating part.
Where we're at now, I think, in terms of wow factor, would be AI. Everybody is now really moving into this AI space. The thing with AI, though, is that it's a much slower progression. The improvements are amazing. It's just the fact that we're still very early on in terms of what manufacturers and people like Google and Apple are doing with AI. Yes, they've done stuff with AI in the past, but there's so much more improvement still to be had, and there's still nobody that has quite figured out quite what to do with AI. I think a good example of using AI is what Google and Apple are doing to increase the quality of photos when you take a photo. I think that's a good example of the improvements that we're getting with AI.
You know, AI is
going to continue to improve. And I'll give you another example of why I think that. So NVIDIA just launched a new graphics line. And a lot of that has to do with real-time ray tracing, and a lot of that is because of AI. So, like, if you're a game developer, you can actually go to NVIDIA and say, hey, will you run my game through your supercomputer and do all the AI assets and all that stuff so that it runs faster and better and more optimized? And they'll do that for free.
So wow, that's amazing.
So I think AI is something that's going to be something that becomes more prevalent in terms of everything that we're using.
I think, you know, overall software. No, absolutely. Because you think about, I mean, let's skip the AI part, right? Let's go backwards. Let's go to software. And John, you have been editing video, editing audio. You've been doing live production for how long now, right? With me.
Oh, like 10 years.
How much in 10 years ago compared to what we have today? And forget about 10 years. Let's go 5 years, right? Let's make it in within reach. How much easier has it gotten for us to produce content?
Oh, there's just new tools out there. That's really what it comes down to, is there's so many new tools.
I mean, and we still overcomplicate stuff due to, you know, the fact that we're embedded in, you know, using these Skype machines and using this, using that. You technically could do everything that we were doing 5 years ago with 5-6 machines on one. And that's really not due to hardware. That's due to smarter software.
Well, the fact that we're doing this through VMix Call at 1080p right now.
Absolutely, right? You're sending me 1080p.
You're not using a Skype machine. This is a video that's going directly into your switcher.
I'll give you another example. I edited a video on my iPhone. I was able to get a YouTube video, extract the YouTube video, save it on my iPhone, put it and edit it in the software on my iPhone, edit the video, and then post it on Twitter in a matter of 20 minutes. I did all this on an iPhone. Where 5 years ago, it would have taken me probably an hour to do this. It's wild. I mean, even software has gotten so much smarter and so much, you know, more efficient, where now we're in the AI stage. And this is the beginning. This is the infancy of AI technology and AI, you know, algorithms assuming what mm-hmm. the best photo is and combining the photos and bumping the HDR. It's smarter than most editors.
I think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see AI more prevalent in the software that we use, and not just in a gimmicky way, like, oh, we can measure this, or we can do this little gimmicky game with our other friends and do this augmented mixed reality type of deal, this game that just looks goofy and doesn't really work that well. It's going to be more in terms of tools for us to use to get better results from what we use every day. Taking a photo is a great example of that.
Oh, it's a phenomenal example of that, because that's something we do every single day, like you said. Hey, I do want to continue this discussion, but I do want to thank... We're talking about getting smarter and getting more efficient, and that's exactly what a Casper mattress is. Casper mattresses are designed by humans for humans. They combine multiple supportive memory foams with the quality sleep surface that just the right sink and just the right bounce. I have to tell you, I tell the story every single time, and this is... I feel like, you know, I could read something that they provided to me. You know, like, I could tell you that, you know, you get $50 towards your select mattress purchase by going to casper.com/Andrew, but my personal experience is something that you will generally understand better. I have 4 ruptured discs in my back. This happened about 10 years ago. It was Memorial Day weekend 2007. I was barbecuing. I stood up and I could not move. As they say in wrestling, this is a shoot, what I'm telling you. So I couldn't move, right? I was in pain. I went to doctor. I did epidurals. I did all this stuff. And I started dieting. I started eating better. And the pain kind of started going away. I was told surgery would be the only thing. I did not want to do surgery. But one thing that was brutal for me was waking up in the mornings. And that's because of the mattress I had. I was convinced that I had to go to one of these big box mattress shops, and they laid me down on this thing, and they said, "Oh, your ankles are a 5, but your knees are a 6, and your back is a 12. So this is the best mattress for you." And guess what it was? It was the most expensive mattress they had in the shop. They saw me come in, and they got me. So I went and bought this ridiculously expensive mattress, and it was one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever had in my life. It was just miserable for 2.5 years. I tossed and turned every single night. So when Casper came on board, they said, "Hey, try out our mattress." Came in a box, and I was a little bit skeptical as far as, you know, this thing is coming up in a box, and how does this work? I'm telling you, from the first night that I laid on this, I felt so much better. And little by little, the pain started going away. That morning pain that I had every day where I would have to stretch and everything, it started really going away because this mattress... It was really, it was the right firmness. It was the right softness for me. But I'm just giving you my story here with Casper and why I'm a huge believer of their mattresses, huge believer and supporter of their products. And you could try it out too. You get a 100-night sleep guarantee, meaning you could try this mattress out, see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, guess what? You can send it back. No questions asked. Easy breezy. But I'm willing to bet that you're not going to send it back. You go to casper.com/Andrew, use the offer code Andrew at checkout, and you get $50 off towards a select mattress purchase. I absolutely love these guys, and you really should try it out if you're looking for a mattress. Casper.com/Andrew.
I've been waiting 10 years to try one.
You want a Casper mattress?
Yeah. Who doesn't?
You know what's funny? Coco's messaging me right now, and I swear to God, and we're recording this right now, and this is the weirdest thing. I'm not preaching to you guys, right? I'm not religious, but sometimes you put things out in the universe, and it just happens that somebody else gets that message. This is weird for me to even talk about on the show. He just messaged me and said, "Hey, what's the promo code for your Casper mattress?" That is really weird. That's really weird.
Computer.
I don't know, man. That's like gives me the heebie-jeebies a little bit right now. That's really, dude. How weird is that? He just asked me for the promo link for the Casper mattress because his girlfriend wants to buy one. That's so weird.
That's awesome.
Talk about something that's not weird.
Got a girlfriend?
Yeah, he did. Good for him, huh?
Wow.
He suckered someone in.
That's scary.
Google also announced the Home Hub. It's the latest smart display to hit the market, but it's not like quite the rest. The one key difference in the Google lineup is the lack of a camera. This thing doesn't have a camera. I think because they're most likely going to release a camera with the next one, so it removes the possibility
or
of video
maybe
calls.
Because they don't really have a video messaging product that people give a crap about.
Wait a minute, it's not Hangouts anymore, right? Hangouts are dead.
I don't know what it is because
it's the chat. Is it Hangouts?
They've changed the name of their products, and they have several products that do the same thing. So I have no idea what it is that they do anymore in terms of messaging.
Yeah.
I really don't understand what it is that they have and what you're supposed to use.
I use a Google Messenger on my phone, and they came up with a plan to kind of streamline their messaging. But it's only complicated things even more.
They had Google Hello, then they had Duo, and then Hangouts and Messenger, and just
and chat. Hangouts chat.
Different products with very similar behavior and functions, and it's just like, what are people supposed to use? How are they supposed to use it? And why do you have so many products that do virtually the same thing?
So, by the way, Facebook also announced the Facebook portal. That was another thing.
This thing is just dumb.
So they announced a Facebook portal. So
nobody could abide a Facebook portal. I can tell you that right now.
Why do you think that?
They talked about this on the Gunna Geek Show on, I believe, the previous episode. It's just, why would anybody buy something from Facebook that does this that nobody needs? It's a product that Facebook wants, but nobody needs.
So essentially, it's a hands-free video calling system with Alexa built in. Correct? That's all it is?
I don't know that I would even go that far with it because it's a very limited device. It's not full on Alexa.
Yeah, but it's just a chat service.
It will not do the same exact stuff as an Alexa because it's from Facebook. It's using APIs, and I don't know that they have the same access as an actual Amazon Echo.
Okay. I don't know. This is a weird market. So Google releases this thing. It's a 7-inch display. It's the smallest one on the market. It's also the cheapest one on the market at $149. Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, no camera.
Oh, yeah. Amazon Facebook portal thing is $349, by the way.
$349 for the big one, for the 15.6-inch. They also have a $199, 10.1-inch.
Yeah, nobody's going to spend $200 on that either.
Yeah. What? Yeah. But Alexa Show, displays, right? It's Alexa Show's $229. What do you think of that?
At least that's a full-on Echo. Whereas these other devices are just kind of like they kind of interface with it, but not really. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's just these smart displays are a lot like tablets, in my opinion. They're devices that they put out to supplement these ecosystems that they've built, but nonetheless, it's a very niche market, and very few people are actually buying these.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find Google. How are they? Let me see how they're presenting this. Google Home Hub. Because I have a Google Home in three rooms right now. Somehow I ended up in that ecosystem. I have no idea how that happened. I somehow ended up in the Google one, and I have to tell you, Alexa's better. So what this thing does, essentially, it's your personal assistant, where it'll tell you your Google Calendar stuff, it'll tell you the temperature in your rooms, if you have a Nest or a smart device that it connects to, you can watch YouTube videos, you can get the weather. It's your first glance at the day. I'm trying to figure out how important
these devices are. Just take that $149 and put that into the new Google Pixel.
Or you could put it into a new Google Pixel. Yeah, or you could do that because everybody has their phone around them. It has speakers.
Exactly.
It has you could relive your moments. It's pretty much a photo album also. I do find one thing interesting. It connects with the Nest, and that would be pretty cool. because you could have this in a room, and when the nest somebody rings your bell or somebody comes up, it pulls up on the screen. I liked that aspect of it. That was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I really, this is a very interesting market, and it's essentially a limited tablet.
Yeah.
It's a limited tablet. So why couldn't, I mean, this is a crazy theory, right? Why couldn't they create some sort of base and you could buy whatever tablet that Google is selling and just dock it on there? When you dock it, it becomes Google Hub mode.
That's actually a very interesting idea.
Right? And then when you take it with you, you could have the option of doing Google Hub, or you could have the option of just doing whatever else on this. That is something that Apple could really benefit on that, huh? Because everybody has an iPad.
Yeah.
Just take an iPad, dock it, and now you're in this you know, hub mode or smart display mode, where it acts very differently than you would if you were walking around with this thing. You know, I'm very surprised that this is taking off, and especially on the Amazon side, because those Amazon tablets do sell well due to being inexpensive.
Cheap.
Yeah. I mean, I have a couple of them, right? I have three of them because I give one to my daughter in the car. Somebody else bought her one. And then I had bought one to give away to someone that I never did. They're not the best. They're pretty slow. They're not, the best UI. It's a little bit convoluted because it integrates with the Kindle stuff. But if they were to revamp this and sell a dock for this, I think that would be a tremendous hit for Amazon.
Sure.
I find it very interesting that that's not the route that they took. And I'm curious if it was presented at one point that that would be the route, but they couldn't justify missing out on the opportunity to sell a $230 display that just sits there with a giant speaker behind it.
Yeah.
I find that very interesting. But essentially, that's all that it is, right? It's a dumbed-down tablet, these devices. And I know they're going to sell it's remarkably during the holiday season.
It's just something that I don't see most people needing.
Dude, I'm telling you, they're going to sell these like crazy during the holiday season.
So I want to move on, and I want to talk about this Google Slate. And I want to get your opinion on this, because this is an interesting device that Google is putting out now. It's essentially a Chrome OS tablet. Google hasn't necessarily had a tablet before of their own. They've had some Android tablets, but this is, the first Chrome OS tablet. I don't have necessarily the specs in front of me, and we don't know the entire specs for this.
I have it here.
Because it's been rumored to have two different CPUs and two different amounts of RAM, so we don't know exactly what's in there.
So here you go. So you have a Celeron processor. That's the cheapest one with 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigabytes of storage, or 8 gigs of RAM at 64 gigs. There's multiple models. Wait, there's multiple models. So you have that's the Celeron processor. Then you have the 8th generation Intel M3 processor at $799. That's 8 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage. Then you have an i5 version at 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigabytes of storage at $999. And then you have an i7 version with 16 gigs of RAM, 256 gigabytes of storage for $1,599.
That's going to be a very interesting device, and see how that does.
Well, I'll tell you.
I suspect it might not do that great, but it has potential.
I mean, but it has potential for one reason, right? I was thinking about how do people use these devices? How are people using their computers every day? And I'm just going based on my habits, how I use my computer. I have my Messenger, whatever I use. I mean, obviously, I'm using iMessage, but I have iMessage and Skype. I don't necessarily have to use iMessage. I could use whatever Google is providing for their messaging. I use my web browser, which is Chrome. I watch videos on YouTube. I use Google Drive all day long. I could listen to Spotify. I mean, that's about it, right? I mean, your day-to-day usage, your day-to-day average usage consists of Gmail, Google Drive, and Chrome. This could potentially have
a
marketplace.
It's a good-looking device, too.
It's a very good-looking device, but why would I pay $1,600 for this?
No, that's the question. Laptop at that point,
I would buy a laptop. I would buy something with a little bit more flexibility. It's not about what I use every day. It's about what I can't use when I want to use it. That's how most consumers are thinking. That's always the, you know, think about it like the big car skimp, the undercoating. You know, get the $500 undercoating package with your Buick. It's not about needing it at that moment. It's about what if I need this? Yeah. What if I need to download whatever?
Did this make you think of another product that came out a few years ago?
What product are you talking about? I was going to say it's a Surface competitor, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's got a very similar name to some other product that came out a few years ago.
Do you remember the madness behind the Slate craze? Is that what you're talking about?
The iPhone Slate.
Yeah, so the rumors were when the iPad got announced that it was going to be called the Slate. At that point, tablets, I think the PC market was kind of shifting to the Slate term because they really didn't want it to be called a tablet. They wanted to be, they were looking for something else. And they jumped the gun and people started naming their product Slates, and HP was the first one to name their product the Slate. And it didn't go anywhere, right? It really fell apart at that point. HP wasn't actually in a terrible position at that
HP
point.
HP still sells Slate HP tablets. Slate.
Yeah.
So to me, as a tech enthusiast, this confuses me, the fact that, okay, Google is selling a Slate and HP is selling a product with the same name called Slate.
You know, it would be great if we see a bump in HP Slate sales now. I mean, listen, I do think that there is a place for Chrome OS. I don't know what that place really is. And I think it's going to be an integration between Android and Chrome OS.
Sure. To me, I feel like Google is still treating Chrome OS as an experiment. They still haven't quite figured out what they want to do with it, how it's going to be marketed, how people are supposed to use it. It's just one of those things that, like Google does, they've thrown something against the wall, see if it sticks, never really put too much weight behind it. It is what it is. I mean, they're doing a little bit more work with Chrome OS now, but that's mainly to make it tablet ready.
Yeah.
So it's another one of those products that Google has started, and what does Google do with it going forward? It's one of those things that you trust getting a Chrome OS product. You've had a Chrome OS product. What do you do with that now?
Nothing. It just sits there. My brother has it.
Yeah.
But do you know why I don't use it? Because they kind of screwed me when I went to buy it. They said, oh, well, Android apps are going to be running on this thing. And it never came. They said, well, this holiday season, you'll get Android apps on this. So holiday season came, holiday season went, a year came, and a year went. And nothing happened. So, I have no interest now in using it. It just sits there. I think I used it when my Mac was in repair. I used it for a little bit for that. And, you know, let me tell you, it got the job done. I could watch my YouTube videos. I could do my chatting. Everything worked. But it's
really never taken off, and Google has really never put enough into it for it to take off.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the Google mentality, right?
Oh, sure.
You start something and you see where it goes, and then you forget about it for a little bit.
I've gotten turned off a little bit to Google lately in terms of just some of the stuff that they're doing. It's like Google is not the best out there for everything.
No, especially with hardware. But they did hit the nail on the head with this Pixel. I think this is a very good device.
But this it's not necessarily something that. If you have the Pixel 2, you don't need to go out and get this. It's just maybe like every other smartphone. If you've got the previous generation, you don't need to get the next generation. You can wait a year or more.
Yeah. But someone like me may jump over. So that's part of
it,
right?
Deal with the notch.
I probably could. I could probably deal with it. They also released a third generation Chromecast, which a lot of people were not aware of. They also announced a new Chromecast with a little bit of a refined design. The device now supports up to 1080p streaming on 60 FPS. It also does Wi-Fi 802.11ac, still powered by micro USB, and there is no Type-C just yet.
It does a lot of the latest stuff that you would want from such a device.
Yeah, so they
also
released
Pixel Buds. I don't know if you saw these things, but they're kind of hideous.
Yeah, they're USB Type-C earbuds.
I mean, they're nice and small, but I don't know. That gray is just hideous.
The earbuds will sell for $30, and they come with all the features that the $160 Pixel Bud comes with. Isn't that fascinating? Yeah, okay. You can reach Google Assist, hear your notifications by simply pressing the volume button on the back control, and earbuds only come in white. So you can get those as well. Also, Google launches Pixel branded premium Chromebook tablet. Let's see. That was a Slate, obviously. And I mean, that was about it. It was a very interesting announcement.
Yeah. Again, it was an announcement that they didn't really need to have since everybody already knew everything that was leaked.
Yeah. Also, Google Plus, they killed Google Plus.
Yeah, I think everybody saw the writing on the wall for that one, though.
After all
that came down to the fact that their APIs for Google Plus are crap and have the potential to be unsecured, and they didn't want to do anything with it. So they said, "Oh well, they're getting rid of Google Plus for consumers."
Yeah, but what does that mean for everything else,
such as?
I mean, here's something interesting. They had communities.
Hardly anybody used Google Plus on the consumer side.
Yeah. It got really big for communities, but Facebook took over that when they added group support. So that kind of hurt them on that side. But really, Google Plus never took off the way that they wanted it to. And it was very forceful. It got convoluted. You had to have a Google Plus account to get a YouTube account, and things were tied in, and they're still linked together.
If you want
to
change your name on YouTube, you have to go to Google Plus and edit it on Google Plus.
So I don't know what's going to happen when that goes away. Like,
it makes no sense. So to update the name on my YouTube, I have to go to Google Plus, which changes it everywhere on Google.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. YouTube needs to be separate from everything else that that Google does in terms of settings.
So weird. Yeah, so that's gone. And we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll dive in with another social media platform.
I hope they don't. I think they lost the battle on that one.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that they do socially just doesn't work anymore. I mean, who's to say what they might do in the future, but their track record in regards to these products just is not there. Google Plus, Google Hangouts, Google Duo, Google Hello. I mean, the writing is on the wall when you look at those particular products.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. All right, John, let's wrap it up. What do you say?
Sure.
Let's wrap it up. Thank you guys for tuning in. John, where can people find out more about you?
You can follow me on Twitter, at Suncast. That's Sunkast. You can also see me on GFQNetwork.com.
Excellent. Guys, Paul is back next week, so we'll go over a lot more stuff with him in detail and cover some of this Microsoft stuff also with him. I wanted to kind of stay away, and I wanted to save it for Paul. And that's it for this week. We'll see you all later.